House, please come to order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please open the roll so Representative Vasca can...
Mr. Speaker, I'm not supposed to be here today, so the computer has me off.
Pardon?
The computer probably has me off. I was previously excused today, however, I am here.
Thank you. We'll have the clerk note your presence and we'll reprogram the computer. Does any member fail to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
The roll shows 25 members present.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Carney is excused until plain time today, and at this time I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Fanning be excused until plain time today.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Fanning is excused until plain time. Representative Vasca is excused, although his presence is noted in the chambers. Will the clerk please, will the members please rise for the invocation by Pastor George McNevin.
Shall we pray? Our Father, we have not quieted ourselves because we have nothing else to do, but because we need to, so that the actions of this day spring not so much from haste as from a free spirit, which owes no man anything, but yet is debtor to all. Help us to remember that the other man's integrity should not be in question when he disagrees with us, just as ours should not be when we disagree with him. So help us all, our Lord. Amen.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. The clerk, please certify the journal for the 86th legislative day.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 86th legislative day in accordance with the rules.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal be approved as certified by the chief clerk for the 86th legislative day.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to introduction of guests. Are the guests for introduction? Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've got some close-up teachers and students from Barrow and Kotzebue. From Barrow, I have Jay Savar, teacher, Dan Lindberger, Ellen Akpik, and Roxanne Adams. And from Kotzebue, I have the teacher Nancy Trevgillo and David Evac. Would they stand, please?
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have two close-up students from my area, Alfred Carmen from Deering and Janet Hunt from Cotley.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Duncan and I also have some close-up students and teacher in the gallery. In Gallery A, the teacher is Beth Bellflower, and the students are Terry Braun, Deanna Garcia, and Allison Cropper.
Are there other guests for introduction? Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Chuckwuck has a close-up student here from Dillingham, Lydia Olympic.
Are there further guests for introduction? On the daily order of business, this brings us to messages from the governor. Are there messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has passed House Bill number 29, effective date failed, a special appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for the Youth Hostel Revolving Loan Fund with the following amendment. Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 29, Finance, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to restore partial year funding for the fiscal year ending June 30, 1982, with an effective date. And it is transmitted for consideration. Mr. Speaker, the Senate has also passed the following and transmitting for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 37 by par relating to the use of computers and telecommunication systems.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 37 is referred to the Labor and Commerce Committee and the Judiciary Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 630, State Affairs amended, entitled An Act Relating to the Legislative Oversight Procedures Relating to State Agencies, Boards, and Commissions under AS 0803 and AS 4466, and providing for an effective date.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 630 is referred to the State Affairs Committee and the Labor and Commerce Committee.
Those are all the messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Are there other communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee has had House Bill 637, an act relating to limited entry and providing penalties for the taking and sale of fish without an entry permit, interim use permit, or emergency transfer slip and an identification card. The committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 637, Finance, entitled An Act Relating to the Regulation of the Taking, Purchase, or Sale of Certain Fishery Resources and Providing for an Effective Date. Recommends due pass. The due pass report was signed by Representative Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Haugen, Bettysworth, Hurlburt, Chuckwuck, and Montgomery. Cotton signed, no recommendation. There's no further referral. That's all the committee reports this morning.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
I have one citation honoring J.R. Lacar, honored with great respect, award winner, by Representatives Metcalf and Byrne. Those are all the citations.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills?
No bills this morning.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the day's calendar? Representative Brown. House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Vasca.
May we revert back to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. From the Lower Yukon, for Representative Hurlburt, we have, from Imangok, we have the teacher, Jim Carden, Pumpkin Stepanoff, Frida Waska, and Lovis Edmund from Alakana.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Upon a motion to recess, there will be a Democratic caucus in the Buttervich room.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also on a motion to recess, there will be a majority coalition caucus in the Speaker's chambers.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess to the call of the chair.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess to the call of the chair.
549 by Fuller, entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation for a Feasibility Study on Establishing a Norton Sound VHF Network and Providing for an Effective Date. Community and Regional Affairs had House Bill 549 under consideration. The committee recommended due pass. The report was signed by Grusendorf, Chairman, concurred in by Fuller, Miller, and Vasca. Bilesma signed, no recommendation. Finance Committee had House Bill 549 under consideration. Committee recommended replace with committee substitute for House Bill 549, entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Department of Administration for a Cost Analysis of Alternative Designs for the State Health Communications Network and Providing for an Effective Date. There was a letter of intent attached. The report was signed by Representative Adams, Chairman. Due pass, concurred in by Chuckwuck, Meekins, Carney, Fuller, and Hurlburt. Montgomery signed no recommendation. Cuddy signed do not pass. Bettysworth and Cotton signed no recommendation.
Before the motion is made to adopt the committee substitute, I need to establish a quorum. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? clerk please take the roll?
The roll shows 34 members present.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 549 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? There is objection. Representative Clarkson.
Just for the purpose of a question, Mr. Speaker, I wonder if the clerk could reread the finance report. I thought I heard a name twice in two different columns there.
Will the clerk please read the finance report for House Bill 549?
The Finance Committee has had House Bill 549 under consideration. The committee recommends replace with committee substitute for House Bill 549 Finance, entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Department of Administration for a Cost Analysis of Alternative Designs for the State Health Communications Network and Providing for an Effective Date. The due pass report was signed by Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Chuckwuck, Meekins, Carney, Fuller, and Hurlburt. Bettysworth, Cotton, and Montgomery signed. No recommendation. Cuddy signed. Do not pass.
Is the objection maintained to the motion to adopt the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 549 in lieu of the original bill? Is there objection? Hearing none, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments? Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 549 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 549 by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Department of Administration for a Cost Analysis of Alternative Designs for the State Health Communications Network and Providing for an Effective Date.
Is there debate? Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'm glad to see that some of the items that were left out of the operating budget are going to be cleaned up in other bills.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 549 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 33 yeas, 2 nays.
The committee substitute for House Bill 549 Finance has passed the House. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on final passage of committee substitute House Bill 549 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Representative Clarkson. House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 709 by Byrne, Martin, and Halford, entitled An Act Relating to Scholarship Loans and Providing for an Effective Date. Health, Education, and Social Services had sponsor substitute for House Bill 709 under consideration. The committee recommended replace with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 709 with the same title, and that the Health, Education, and Social Services sponsor committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Byrne, Chairman, concurred in by Cato, Smith, and Martin. The Finance Committee had sponsor substitute for House Bill 709 under consideration. The committee recommended replace with Finance Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 709 with the same title and recommended do pass. There was a fiscal note in Supplement 35. Adams, Chairman, signed do pass, concurred in by Haugen, Bettysworth, Hurlburt, Carney, Chuckwuck, Fuller, and Montgomery. Cotton signed no recommendation. Cuddy signed do pass original bill.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move to amend the motion to be that the Hess Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee substitute cuts the amount of loans to $5,000, add some other provisions that I don't like. I think the HES committee did better work on this, and that we should be adopting their committee substitute.
So further debate, Representative Byrne.
Just like, Mr. Speaker, if I may, I'd just like to thank the representative from Fairbanks for his salubrious comments. And while I appreciate him, I can't accept him. I can't accept his recommendations. I think we ought to stick with the Finance Committee's substitute.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking as a member of the Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services, I would urge the House to adopt the amendment to the motion.
House, please stand at ease.
We have before us a motion by the majority leader that the Finance Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 709 be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Is the objection maintained? There is objection. Representative Rogers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, as I said before, I don't like the Finance CS, but I do, in lieu of the HES CS, but I do believe it's better than the original bill, and I intend to vote for it. The original bill would cut the amount of student loans even further than the Finance CS, and for that reason, I do support adoption of the Finance CS.
Is there further objection to the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute in lieu of the original bill? Is there objection? Hearing none, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted. Are there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Martin, O'Connell, and Miller to committee substitute for sponsors to substitute for House Bill 709 Finance. This has been duplicated on all members' desks, I believe.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I want to apologize to the finance chairman for my negligence in not bringing this to the committee's attention when it was in Finance Committee, and the work perhaps could have been done there, but I had my own committee at the same time and couldn't address the problem. The major problem I see here, sir, in lowering the loans available to the students throughout the state is that it is not equal when you consider the cost of those students who have attend certain universities. So we, in effect, kind of eliminate freedom of choice of the university of their choosing. Mr. Speaker, I passed out, along with the amendment, a four-page analysis that was done by House Research telling the cost of student living at various campuses within Alaska as well as without, with out of state. And if the people would turn, I know a lot of, during our long break, a lot of the legislators did study this. If you turn to the page pertaining to living in Alaska, you see that at the University of Anchorage, the total cost, excluding tuition, is a little over $6,000 for this current school year. And if we do diminish the loans available to $5,000, these students in Anchorage, in Kenai, in Juneau, who do not have on-campus housing available to them are forced to a higher cost of education. They're not only forced to a higher cost of education, but they're also going to pay a higher interest rate on what they have to borrow. So the only choice, sir, is to go out of state if you do not choose to go to Fairbanks. And if you look on the out-of-state costs in Oregon, Washington, California, it's amazing how much cheaper it is down there. Anywhere between $3,000 and $4,000. Stanford, a private institution, living off campus at $5,300. So that we're going to get into a situation where we are heavily funding the university system, but we're forcing the students who we should be catering to out of state. It's merely due, if you analyze each one of these universities, to if housing is available on campus or off campus. Now, just last week, sir, there was an article in the Anchorage paper pertaining to apartment rental availability. And during committee hearings, we've heard many horror stories where students are literally being pushed out of the apartments they have rented for the semester because students weren't aware to maybe put on a six-month lease or a nine-month lease. And because the private sector individuals who are working will pay through need more than anything else, not choice, but will pay a higher rental fee. Maybe it's just $25 or $50 more a month, but that's enough to tell the landlord, kick out the students and bring in the other renters. We're getting into a terrible problem, and we're not going to solve it right now by lowering the loans available to students. Maybe if we support student housing for all campuses and equally to all of our students, then we can significantly reduce the student loan. Mr. Speaker, I ask that the amendment pass.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to support the amendment for a couple of different reasons.
First of all, I agree with the sponsor of the amendment that there are costs that exceed the figure of $5,000. He has presented some more recent research. We did research last year, Mr. Speaker, that indicated that last year, for example, at the University of Washington, an out-of-state university that is that a lot of kids from Alaska go to, that the cost of going to school there is over $8,000 for tuition and fees and room and board. So, Mr. Speaker, I think it's important to increase the maximum amount and not decrease it again and not reverse the decision that was made last year. In addition, Mr. Speaker, I think that another reason to support this proposed amendment to place it back to $6,000 is the question of flexibility. There's been a lot of criticism of this program because allegedly school scholarship loan offices encourage students to apply for the maximum amount of the loan regardless of whether they in fact need that much money to go to school. In response to that, I suppose we have proposals here to cut the maximum amount. I don't think that's the proper response, Mr. Speaker. I think that if you leave the maximum amount high, you will assist those students who have legitimate high costs. The answer to the abuse of the program, where people are being encouraged to apply for more money than they need up to that maximum, the answer to that abuse is something other than cutting the maximum. It's administrative regulations to address universities that encourage students to do that and to stop that practice. It's administrative regulations, or even statutes for that matter, that put more oversight on the program so that people don't borrow this money if they don't need it or don't borrow more than they need. The solution is not to reduce the maximum amount of money because that reduces flexibility. Mr. Speaker, the final reason I think to support this amendment is that the proposed language in Section 1 is not necessary. There's two reasons for that, Mr. Speaker. The first appears in the letter of intent. I don't know if any of you have read the letter of intent that's proposed by the chair of the House Finance Committee, but that letter of intent says that we're only going to appropriate a certain amount of money, don't want to see a supplemental appropriation. We would instruct the commission to lower loan maximums if necessary to ensure that the greater number of Alaskan students can participate in the program. That is, if you start running out of money, commission, lower the maximums. Well, I wasn't sure that they had the authority to do that. I called the commission. They indicate they do have the authority to do that. So it's not necessary in order to make sure there's no supplemental appropriation. In addition to that, Mr. Speaker, I talked to the executive director of the commission this morning. He says that based on his analysis of the amount of money we appropriated for this program in the loans bill, that it will not be necessary to reduce the maximum amount of loan. There is a sufficient amount of money appropriated that we don't need to cut the loan amount. Keep in mind, the maximum amount has to match up with how much money we have, otherwise we're going to use the money up and people at the end of the year aren't going to have it. It is not necessary to cut this loan amount. I think it needs to be at a higher level to give the commission and students flexibility for those that need it, and I'd encourage the adoption of the amendment.
Representative Meekins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also support the amendment. The abuses that we've all been concerned about with this program have basically come about because people have utilized the money for other than school purposes. We've all heard about people purchasing personal items like guns and other things with this money or adding, essentially using it to add to their income. And there's a great temptation to do that since this money comes at a low interest rate and some of it, up to half of it, is forgiven if a person is going to reside in the state afterwards. The only way really to get at that abuse was to restrict the kinds of things that the loans could be used for and to increase the accountability by increasing the number of checks, the spot check type system that the Internal Revenue System has. And that was done administratively several weeks ago by the board. They've now limited it so you cannot use these loans for personal expenses. You cannot use it for daycare, other things like that. You can only use it for the four main elements of the program, that is tuition, fees, room and board, and books. And I think that in itself is a major step forward. That they estimate will bring a 15% reduction in the cost of the program, which we did deduct out in the appropriation in the loan bill appropriations. We did reduce that by 15% at the suggestion of the commission in terms of their estimate as to what what the cost would be reduced by 15% because of this tightening up on the kinds of things that the loan money could be used for. So I think if they're right and if the thinking is right, and I believe it is, the abuses that we've all been concerned about, it, which essentially generated the desire to make changes to the program, have been done administratively, have been done by regulation already. So I think we're going to take care of that. And then any cheating that is going on, we should be able to find a lot of that and deter a lot of that through the spot check system that they're now instigating. So we should have a real improvement in the program. So then we get down to the basic question, and that is there some reason to reduce the level from the current maximum? And I think with tuitions going up all over the country that it probably doesn't make sense to do that. We're already going to save 15% of this total program because we say they can only use it for tuition, room and board, books and fees. And if it is the case that that these costs vary widely, and some people are not going to be able to get the maximum now because they won't be able to max out for those four things. But in some schools, especially some of the private schools around the country, it is very expensive to go to school now, and those costs are going up. In fact, there are schools where the entire $6,000 would be taken up just for tuition. So if we are trying to have a loan program that does help Alaskan students get good education, I think that there really isn't any need to reduce this maximum. If they do run out of money, or if they are looking at a shortfall due to increased utilization that is not anticipated, and I think their estimates are accurate, but just in case they're wrong, they do have the power and the direction in the from the finance chairman and the finance committee in their letter of intent to reduce the maximums themselves, and that's what they've always done in the past. And in fact, that's in directly contrary to actually what's in the statute on the point system. We'll probably get into that in a little while. But they have always reduced the maximums available, that is, prorated the amounts, which is exactly what we're asking them to do again this year. So there really wouldn't be necessary to lower this. And since we've already appropriated the money at the higher level, it doesn't seem to me that it makes sense to arbitrarily cut the undergraduates down $1,000.
Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to ask the members to vote no on the amendment because I think that it's too much to handle. I think there's a better way to handle it, and that is the way it's addressed in the Finance Committee substitute bill. Lord knows I'd like to give the students, all this money also. I mean, the little darlings deserve it. There's just certainly, they're away from home, and their mothers and fathers and everything, and they need all these goodies. And that's some of the arguments you hear. But the truth is that the student loan program is designed as an aid to help the students. It isn't designed to pay all of their costs and all of their transportation and all of their telephone calls and their laundry. It's designed to help, give them some monies to fund some of their educational needs. And they have to use that within the means afforded them. Let me give you a couple of points here. For example, if we give them $6,000, it's an encouragement to them to leave the state. Well, I don't particularly encourage or feel that we should encourage the students to leave the state. We should encourage them to stay in the state and take advantage of our own educational system here. If we can't handle it in the public educational area, we should supplement their education over at the other private educational institutions in the state and help them out. But we should not encourage them to leave the state. Let's take the history on this now. In 1980 and 81, in other words, the fiscal year 1981, we had about $16 million in student loans. That was the volume. Okay, we increased the loan volume to $6,000. Or the loan amount to $6,000 in the following year, and immediately the loan volume tripled, okay? It's projected that this coming year, fiscal year 83, that the loan volume is going to rise by at least 50%. So we went from $50 million to almost $70 million projected. Well, we've only budgeted about $52 million for it. That's all the money we have for it. So we'd be starting off right off from the very beginning advocating that we loan out more money than we have coming in. That doesn't make any sense. What we ought to do is prorate that money, and $5,000 is a fair way to do it. I think I'd even go down lower to $4,500 because I think that before the program is over, that's all the money that will be available. We shouldn't forget either that this is not a scholarship program. Scholarship means or implies that a person is gaining, you know, this grant or these monies by virtue of the fact of some excellence. But that's not the situation at all. The truth is that this is a student grant program in the sense that the student never pays back 100% of what he borrows. You crank into the equation here the inflation factor, and you'll find out that the student is paying back probably 25 cents on every dollar he borrows, if he pays that back. And if he goes to school for an extended period of time, he might pay back only 10 cents on the dollar. So I'd say that if we're going to keep the program under control, we should lower the amount down to $5,000. One last point. The post-secondary education did indicate that the most commonly made loan was $6,000, because that was the maximum. The average loan is about $4,500, because a lot of students don't take the maximum loan. But the most commonly one, the common one they make, is $6,000. So assuming that we lower it down to $5,000 as a maximum, that would become the most commonly made loan probably. And despite all the improvements that we've made in the bill, I still think we need this limitation on it. And I would hope that we would defeat the motion to amend.
Representative Cuddy.
Mr. Speaker, I guess I feel a little bit betrayed on this issue. The prime sponsor of the loans bill was asked, once the loan limit was reduced to $5,000, if the loans bill ought to be reduced correspondingly, and it was explained that time was of the essence, we needed to pass the bill, and that would be addressed in free conference. Now the sponsor of the loans bill is telling us, using as a lever to increase that amount, the fact that the loans bill has already been submitted and the larger figure was appropriated.
Representative Meekins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the point is that if the Finance Committee substitute passes, then there can be a reduction in the appropriation in the free conference process, and there should be. And that was the point that I made. I didn't indicate that I was in favor of the reduction. I said that we'd appropriated at 100%, assuming the current law and the regulatory changes, which saved us about $9 million. And that's where we got the $52 million. And that if this bill passes both houses, then we could reduce it by a certain amount. I don't know how much it would be, but it'd be substantial, probably in the millions of dollars. I want to clear that up. I think there's some confusion, and I want to restate, you know, the arguments that are being used to bring this down to 5,000 are that we shouldn't pay for laundry, we shouldn't pay for transportation, and we shouldn't pay for telephone calls. And I don't think we should. And last year we did. And what we've done, what has happened is that the commission has now outlawed that, and it will not be possible to use it for those three things or for daycare or any other personal expenses, but only the direct costs associated with the education, that is the tuition and fees, the books, and room and board. Those are the only things that are available now. You can't charge off your telephone calls and transportation and pay your laundry or daycare or any of the other things that have been being paid for by the student loan. That's where we've received the $9 million that got us down. That's where we got the savings of $9 million that got us to $52 million. So it's not the case that we've under-budgeted. We have budgeted currently at 100% of the cost given the current regulations and the current statute. If you change the statute through this piece of legislation, then you can reduce that $52 million by another, I don't know how much, but some substantial amount. I'd have to figure it out, but I suspect it would be a little less than 1/6 of the total program, so you know, maybe 5 to 7 million, something like that, that you could deduct from the $52 million. So, you know, that's just the actual facts, and there's maybe a lot of other reasons that people might want to reduce it down to 5,000, and I can certainly understand how reasonable people could disagree, but it isn't the case that we have to do it because we're not fully budgeted. It is fully budgeted, and also, like, you know, obviously, if the will of the body is to change the statute, then we're going to have to make that adjustment in the free conference committee, assuming it passes both houses. I don't know what would have to be done if it just passed one house and was still pending in the other house. That would be a sort of a judgment call. But I don't agree that that I've changed my spots on this issue. I happened not to be in the Finance Committee when the amendment was made. I had just left and then the amendment was made. I would have opposed it strongly in the committee. I was there for an hour or so of the debate and had to leave, and that's probably why, you know, maybe people aren't aware of my position on it. And I don't think I've changed position at all, and I'm not, and I object to that accusation. But I do think that there is money available in the current appropriation for this. Certainly, we'd save money if that's what people want to do. Then they ought to vote against the amendment. But I think it's a good appropriation. I think it's valuable, and I think it's important that we have it. We've already stopped the abuses, so that isn't a good reason to oppose the amendment, I think.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise in opposition to the amendment for several reasons. Nationwide, 40% of those who begin their freshman year in college only 40% of those who start make it. That's a very poor percentage for a number of college students. In the state of Alaska, we have a program for lending money to students on what seems to be a very free basis, and it just seems like it should be revamped drastically, and the changes, in my mind at least, would be towards how much the students actually need. In past years and in the federal student loan programs, direct need is addressed, and the students who apply for loans from the federal government or programs run through the federal government have to express explicit need for education. I don't see this in the bill, and I don't see it in the student loan program. I do like student loan programs, and I think they're very valuable for those students who need them. I don't think at this particular point in time the other body will pass any kind of legislation dealing with this. It's an election year, and all those students, all those people who will be affected by this legislation, vote. That's very clear. The indication by the representative from Anchorage who spoke in opposition to this amendment also is right. Most of the students are borrowing the maximum. What the Post-Secondary Education Commission can do by regulation is not enough for direction of education in this state. The appropriation of $52 million for an optional educational program is extremely high in my estimation. Not only are we paying the hundreds of million dollars for the university system, but we're also adding to it in part by this student loan of $52 million. Unfortunately, most of that money will be going outside of the state because presumably of the many loans that many students who borrow money go outside of the state. I don't have a particular problem with the students, people going to school outside of the state, because there should be some diversity. However, I think that the maximum amount should be so high as $6,000 a year. Certainly, we should provide incentives for students to be going to the universities, whether it's in Alaska or outside of the state, but not to the extent that it becomes necessary for them to borrow money at 5% to the maximum level. That's simply giving away too much money. I would much rather see this money be used in areas where educational is mandatory, grade schools. In the next couple of years, 39 village day schools will be transferring from the federal government to the state. Those schools need to be renovated drastically so that they're safe. You know, this money could be used in that direction. I just have a lot of problems with the program as it now stands. Now, I would be in favor of lowering the maximum amount from $6,000 to $5,000, and I urge members to vote against the amendment.
Representative Buckholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As one person, one legislator here who has worked on this particular issue for 8 years, I know that there has been a lot of work in revising the program, in improving it. And one of the improvements that we made last year was to devise a way to distribute part of our oil dollars to our students in the form of a loan program. And should the I would like to add, of course, that this is the first time that one of my best friends in the legislature is going to get support from me, and that is Representative Martin. I think he would be I just want to acknowledge that publicly because he always accuses me of going the other way. So in any case, Mr. Speaker, should we adopt this section, it will be the very first time in the 8 years that I've been here that we are trying to destroy or lower the funding for this program. And I just would like not to see that. I think this is a good program. The money is well worth spent. I know that some people say it's almost like a grant program. It's almost like a giveaway program because there is a forgiveness clause. But, Mr. Speaker, there are programs in our state that have forgiveness clause provisions or generous repayment clauses. One that comes to mind is the fish hatcheries program. Now, we are giving a generous program to that. What do we get in return? A lot of fish, a lot of salmon. What do we get in return in this case? A lot of students that do graduate, get highly educated, and they come back to the state and provide our human resources. So, in effect, we are giving money to people that will come back and provide us the resource that we need in our state.
House, please stand at ease. Recess motion to five. Try it. No. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess until 5 p.m.
Object. There is objection. Representative Brown.
Speaker, I move to amend the motion to 1:30 in the afternoon.
Before we vote on the amendment to move it to 1:30, without objection, we'll take time for announcements. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, at 2 o'clock today, there's a meeting of the Oil and Gas Committee to consider the royalty contracts, the Doyon contract and the Tesoro contract.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Depending on the schedule of the House this afternoon, there will be a meeting of the Legislative Council, 3:15 p.m. in the Butrovich Room.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, at the Democratic luncheon today, Representative Smith will be speaking.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I think we ought to come back in at 1:30 and try to get some of our business done instead of waiting till 5 o'clock again at night. You know, over the last few days, we have been staying in session, so we could try to get our work done. I don't see any reason to wait till 5 o'clock. Let's get the business of the House is what's on the calendar today, and I think that should take priority.
Sure. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, it seems that the objects start getting thrown on the floor of the House and the strange noisemakers and giggling do not arise until about 8 or 9 in the evening. I think that's a pretty bad kind of way, circumstances under which to carry on the business of the people. And if the indications from recent experiences are to be believed, we're a lot better off doing our business in the afternoon before we're exhausted and at each other's throats. I suppose the old saw always is that in politics that you should use your temper rather than lose your temper, and we've seen the House at its worst in those late evening hours the last 2 days. I think it's much better to recess until 1:30.
Is there further debate? Question is, shall the motion to recess until 5 o'clock p.m. be amended until 1:30 p.m.? It's the amendment to 1:30 that is the question. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 22 nays.
We have before us a motion to adjourn until 5 p.m. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall the House recess until 5 p.m.? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote?
Clerk. Excuse me.
We'll get down to that in a minute, Representative Byrne. Has any member failed to vote?
It's okay.
Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Byrne?
Yeah, from the ADA.
Representative Byrne from the ADA. Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 22 yeas, 14 nays.
So the motion has passed. The House stands in recess until 5 p.m. In order to establish a quorum, will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting?
Mr. Benny.
Will the clerk please take the roll?
The roll shows 38 members present.
Without objection, I'd like to move back up the daily order of business to read in some messages from the Senate and reports of standing committees, a couple of reports, and an introduction of a citation. Without objection, will the clerk please read messages from the Senate?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate failed to concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill No. 593, bonds issued by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and the Alaska Industrial Development Authority, namely House Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 593, entitled Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and bonds issued by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendment. In the event the House fails to recede, the President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the bills: Senator Sturdalewski, Chairman, Senator Mulcahy, and Senator Rohde. The Senate also failed to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill No. 666, Mining Loan Fund, AS 2709, namely House Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 666, as amended by the House, entitled Certain Lane State Loan Programs, and respectfully request the House to recede from their amendments. In the event the House fails to recede, the President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the bills: Senator Rohde, Chairman, Senator Sturdalewski, and Senator Mulcahy. In failing to concur with the House amendments, the Senate noted and failed to concur with the change in title. Also, Mr. Speaker, the Senate failed to concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 322, Supplemental Appropriations to Pay Miscellaneous Claims Against the State, namely House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 322, Amended House, Appropriations for Various State Loans and Grant Programs, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendments. In the event the House fails to recede, the President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the bills: Senator Bennett, Chairman, Senator Rohde, Senator Sackett. In failing to concur with the House amendments, the Senate noted and failed to concur with the change in title.
Are those all the
I have
messages
further,
from the Senate?
For the messages with bills to refer.
House, please stand at ease. Clerk, please continue with messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has passed the following bills and transmitting same for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 732 by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Mineral Extraction from State Land and Providing for an Effective Date.
The Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 732 is referred to the Resources Committee and the Finance Committee.
Senate Bill No. 772 by Kurtula and Bradley, entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for Construction of a Plant Quarantine Station at the Plant Materials Center, AS 0322. Operated in cooperation with the Institute of Agricultural Sciences and providing for an effective date.
Senate Bill 772 is referred to the Resources Committee and the Finance Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 849 by the Transportation Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Minimum Crew Requirements for the Operation of Railroad Trains and Engines and Providing for an Effective Date.
Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Bill 849 is referred to the Transportation Committee.
Those are all the messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee has had House Bill 412, an act relating to dental disease prevention programs in schools, under consideration. The committee recommends replace with committee substitute for House Bill 412 by Health, Education, and Social Services, and reports the bill back without recommendation. Adams, Chairman, signed no recommendation. Montgomery, Fuller, Carney, Bettysworth, and Haugen, no recommendation. Cuddy signed do not pass. Hurlburt and Cotton signed do pass. There's no further referral. The Finance Committee has had sponsor substitute for House Bill number 804, an act making a special appropriation for payment as a grant to the City of Cordova for a feasibility study of the Bering River Coalfield Port and Transportation System and providing for an effective date. The committee reports it back without recommendation. The majority signed no recommendation. However, let's see. Adams, Chairman, signed do pass. Haugen, Hurlburt, Cotton, and Chuckwuck concurred in the do pass. Bettysworth, Carney, Cuddy, Fuller, no recommendation. Also Montgomery, no recommendation. There's no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee had committee substitute for Senate Bill 552, Finance, under consideration, an act exempting certain child care workers from the Alaska Wage and Hour Act, and the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. Representative Martin, Chairman, signed do pass. Rogers and Randolph had no recommendation. This is a further referral to Finance Committee. State Affairs Committee had House Bill 852, an act relating to the filing of conflict of interest statements by public officials and candidates, under consideration. The committee recommends replace with committee substitute for House Bill 852 with the same title and reports it back. The majority do pass. The do pass was signed by Metcalf Chairman, concurred in by Abood and Fanning. Representative Brown signed do not pass unless you have something to hide. It's a further referral to Judiciary. The Special Gas Pipeline Committee has had House Bill 888, an act relating to the sale of royalty oil by the State of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company and providing for an effective date. Should this be under special committees, Mr. Speaker? I'll hold these.
Yes, it should.
Okay. The Finance Committee has had House Bill 866, an act establishing a special investment tax credit and providing for an effective date. Under consideration, the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. Representative Adams, Chairman, Bettysworth, Hurlburt, Chuckwuck, and Fuller signed do pass. Carney and Cotton, Montgomery had no recommendation. Cuddy signed do not pass. There's no further referral. The Rules Committee has had House Bill 332, an act limiting the civil liability of aviation fuel refiners and providing for an effective date under consideration, and the committee recommends replace with committee substitute for House Bill 332, Judiciary, and recommends do pass with attached amendments. The report was signed by, the do pass report signed by Representative Fuller and Hayes. Phillips signed do not pass. This will be on the calendar for tomorrow. The Rules Committee also had House Bill 74, an act relating to the rights of debtors and creditors under consideration. The committee recommends replace with committee substitute for House Bill 74 by Rules and recommends as follows. Fuller, Chairman, and Phillips signed do pass. Representative O'Connell had no recommendation. This will be on the calendar for tomorrow. Health, Education, and Social Services has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 679, an act relating to imitation controlled substances under consideration. The committee recommends do pass, attaches a letter of intent. Representative Martin signed do pass, concurred in by Cato and Byrne. Smith had no recommendation. There's a further referral to Judiciary. Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has had Senate Bill 603 as amended, an act relating to regional resource centers under consideration. and recommended do pass. The do pass was signed by Representative Byrne, Chairman, concurred in by Smith and Cato. Martin signed no recommendation. There's a further referral to Judiciary. The Judiciary Committee has had committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 69, Judiciary, an act relating to potential consequences of the assessment of driver's demerit points under consideration. Committee recommends replace with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 69, Judiciary, entitled an act relating to the operation of motor vehicles and to the Motor Vehicle Safety Responsibility Act, AS 2820, and reports it back as follows. Barnes, Chairman, Anderson, and O'Connell had no recommendation. Freeman signed, do pass. There's no further referral.
Representative Freeman? House, please stand at ease. Please continue to read the reports of standing committees.
The Judiciary Committee... The Judiciary Committee has had House Bill 701, an act relating to the award of damages by the Human Rights Commission, under consideration, and the committee recommends replace with committee substitute for House Bill 701, Judiciary, entitled an act relating to the Human Rights Commission, and reports it back with individual recommendations. Representative Barnes, Chairman, and O'Connell signed do pass. Anderson and Phillips had no recommendation. Freeman signed do not pass.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time, but we'll try it and see. I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be removed from as sponsor of House Bill 701.
This probably should come up under unfinished business, but I think this... I'm not going to object to bringing it up this time. You moved and asked unanimous consent that your name be removed as sponsor. Is there objection? There is objection. Representative Alford.
Mr. Speaker, is there another sponsor on that bill?
Representative O'Connell.
May we have an ease, please?
Possibly stand at ease. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, with the understanding that I will remake this motion when we get to unfinished business, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the motion be withdrawn at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the motion is withdrawn. Will the clerk please continue to read reports of standing committees?
Those are all the standing committee reports. I have a special committee report.
Okay, reports of special committees.
The Special Gas Pipeline Committee has had House Bill 888, an act relating to the sale of royalty oil by the state of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company and providing for an effective date. Under consideration, the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Representative Halford, Chairman, concurred in by Randolph, Rogers, Bilesma, and Baska. There's a further referral to the Finance Committee. There is a zero fiscal note with an analysis attached to the bill. The Special Gas Pipeline Committee has had House Bill 889, an act relating to the sale of royalty oil by the state of Alaska to Doyon Limited and providing for an effective date. The committee recommends replace with committee substitute for House Bill 889 by the Gas Pipeline Committee with the same title. And the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Halford, Chairman, concurred in by Rogers, Randolph, and Baska. Bilesma had no recommendation. There's a zero fiscal note with an analysis attached. There's a further referral to Finance. Those are all the special committee reports.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
One citation. Honoring Nikki Johnson, winner of Miss Sitka Scholarship Pageant, by Representative Grusendorf. Those are all the citations.
This brings us back to consideration of the daily calendar. Before the recess, we had before us the Finance Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 709,
We had an amendment number one offered, and we were under debate. Representative Halford?
Mr. Speaker, could we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Halford?
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, Laura Townsend, senior at Chugach High School.
Representative Martin?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the motion before us to accept amendment number one, I'd like to take a few moments, sir, to address some of the concerns expressed by some of the other members of the body. Number one, as far as the representative from Bethel, I really think that unless we allow the student loans to remain at present level, that the students in his area, any part of Western Alaska, will be severely hampered from maximizing their abilities to attend one of the major universities in the state of Alaska, because they do have a definite transportation problem that other citizens of our state do not have. Number two, a lot of concern is expressed about the loan package, which allowed $52 million. And in the HES committee, we had considerable discussion on how we could decrease potential demands on the student loan, whatever limit that we had. And between the new regulations that are in effect for this year and the current legislation that we have before us, there's no doubt there's going to be a decrease in the demand for loans and also in the amount of loans per person. The representative from beautiful Midtown Anchorage did mention that the average loan was $4,500, which is true, and $6,000, though, for quite a few others. And this, here again, is dependent if we have student housing available for students or if we don't. It's a direct correlation. So we're punishing those students who do not have the opportunity of student housing at various campuses. Another factor that is going to decrease the monies asked for over the years is this section in the current bill, which now demands that a student will complete a four-year college course in 4 years, not 5 years. That was very loose before. So here we're going to see a 20% decrease within 3 years. Yes, within 3 years now of the demands on the fund, just for that one factor alone. They're not going to be able to stretch out 126-hour academic course in the 5 years. They must do it in 4 years. So I don't think the loan demands are going to go over $52 million because of the new regulation and current legislation here. Thank you.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to oppose this amendment. Last year I was a supporter of raising this up to $6,000. In retrospect, I think we made a mistake. There was a big run on the university. You couldn't hardly get in because of the high in, enrollment. Places where they stayed up there in Fairbanks was jammed. There's one situation that has come to my attention that you could have done last year. Now, I don't think you could do it with these new proposals that they're tightening up the regulations on this, but in theory you could have took out a $6,000 loan, used $3,000 of it to go to school with, as some of them have stated that's all they spend is $3,000, put the other $3,000 in the bank, draw 7% interest, and pay back the loan with it, and still be within your 50% forgiveness and gain 2% interest. And I think some of them have done that, but that is, I don't think you can necessarily do it now, but I still oppose this amendment.
Representative Brown.
Well, Speaker, of course, that just addresses the administration of the loan program. Right now, the Post-Secondary Commission is very, very sensitive to the criticisms of members of the majority and minority from this body and from others in the state with regard to that administration, and I believe that with the attention that they've had and the Attorney General's letter and various other matters, that the student loan program is going to be administered so that people get monies they need or that fit their budget for going to school rather than some money above that level. The problem is, what about the people who really need $6,000? Mr. Speaker, I don't think this is a conflict of interest, but I'll tell you right now, my godson wants to go to Northwestern University. He's going to high school in Anchorage right now. He's been admitted there, and he, like many others who've been admitted to schools like Northwestern, have costs that are well above $6,000 for the first school year. Mr. Speaker, I had the good fortune of going to graduate school and professional school at a couple of very prestigious universities on student loans under much older programs, older state and federal programs. And there's a strange phenomenon that occurs. If you can get into the absolute most prestigious school in your field, Mr. Speaker, perhaps for you that might be Caltech or MIT in engineering or something, the school will be so well endowed that once you're admitted, they'll find the money for you. They'll find you a loan. They'll find you a scholarship or a grant. If you're going to an excellent school that is not absolutely the top school in the field that is heavily endowed, the costs are the same, but they can't find you the money. If you get into Harvard and Yale Law School and maybe Columbia and Virginia, they'll find you the money. You get into any one of the other excellent top 15 law schools in the United States, they don't have the loan programs available, they don't have the endowment, and yet their costs are the same as Harvard, Yale, and wherever. And the whole idea of the present administration of the loan program is to make it possible for people to get quality educations. And that's true with regard to schools like, for instance, Northwestern. So I think that as long as the program is administered properly so that people get the money that they need to fit their budgets for going to school rather than putting money in the bank and buying rifles and cars, the abuses that have been brought to the attention of the post-secondary commission that they are dealing with now, as long as that's taken care of, we should leave it at $6,000.
Representative Sutcliffe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, on the House research work that was done, I was kind of curious why tuition and fees were excluded, but am I right to assume, or is it right, correct, that it's approximately $200 per semester for a university, full-time student at University of Alaska? About $200 a semester, two semesters, $400.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, if I may answer that, it's $25 per degree credit hour, up to the maximum of 12, and then you get a break, and I think it is about 200 at that point.
Representative Sutcliffe.
Okay. Then just adding the $400, what it costs to go to the University of, say, Fairbanks, you can have room, board, books and supplies, transportation, a few personal expenses, and if you add $400 for tuition, then you're talking about $6,000 to go to school for 9 months of the year. I'm a little concerned that a full funding to begin with of a student's education. That's $1,000 equates to approximately 1 hour of a week per, if a person got a job, 1 hour per week, he could go out and he'd make $5 a week, and he's going to be able to pay for this loan, the extra amount. When I went to school, and Representative Brown mentioned it, that, you know, it was in a very expensive elite school, and loans at that point were kind of a, if you had a loan, a scholarship loan, you were the first one to stand up and say, hey, I'm on a scholarship, I'm on a loan. It was a sense of pride. But Stanford was kind of a little snotty school, and those that went to Stanford and didn't have the money to go there and had to get a loan or some sort of a loan, they weren't qualified for scholarship, but they got a loan. Well, that person, just because of the type of school that Stanford was, you know, that was not something that they, you know, they went around and said, hey, I got a loan, you know, because I can't afford it. My father's not as rich as yours. It was something that was not a source of pride, and the person kept it quiet. And that student also usually was, he was on a loan, but he was also, he worked a few hours a week. He hashed at the fraternity. He worked in the summer. Something to make up the difference between what the loan was and what he needed to go to school. I'm not going to say that the character of a student getting out of college right now is any less than it was in those days, Mr. Speaker, but I worked 3 days a week during the night as a waiter, and I made up the difference of what my parents couldn't pay, and I can still remember when I was about 6 years old, my father put my first dollar or $2 into what he was calling my college deposit, and he added to it a little bit over the years, and eventually I went to school, but I happened to pick Stanford, and we couldn't afford it. Even saving over those years, he couldn't afford Stanford, so I had to work. But I kind of question, if we're full funding the students, where are the parents, and where are those funds that everybody used to start saving for college education? Why aren't the parents able to pick up the $1,000 difference of what full funding by state loans would be? Or why isn't that student able to work an hour a week to pick up the difference that it would be between a $5,000 loan and a $6,000 loan? I kind of question why we have to full fund the thing. Isn't there any value into sweat equity and going to school? Isn't that a part of building character? I just got a gut feeling that what that parent is, given that he is a bright parent, a bright students, you know, a child, what he would do if I was a parent is he would take that $6,000 that he had saved since the child began, and he would invest that in the money market at 15%, and he would ask, and his child would get a loan for $6,000 at 5%. And I guess that's good business, but I'm not sure that the state should be in that sort of business, allowing something like that to happen. So I think $5,000 is sufficient, and if in order to make expenses to get the extra $400 for the tuition, if a kid has to go out and work a little bit in the summer, or if the parent has to pop a little for a little bit of it, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I think that's very healthy.
Representative Clarkson.
I can't resist in response to the last speaker in suggesting that, in fact, if you went to Stanford, perhaps it was a very snotty school. In fact, the people who can't take advantage of that, the suggestions he talks about, are people who have families. I don't know if he had a family when he was going to school, but it may well be impossible if that person is a single parent who's trying to raise a family. Very difficult to get through school and work. There are a number of educational programs where it's not possible. Nursing, law, there's medicine, there are a lot of programs. People I'm familiar with that went through those programs flat out didn't have time to work. And your suggestion would mean that those people couldn't go. And, of course, the people also couldn't go whose parents were too poor or who, for whatever other reason, didn't start saving money when he or she was born. So I think that there are large groups of people who didn't have some of the good fortune that the representative from Onalaska did. Two other quick responses without prolonging this debate on this amendment. The representative from downtown who spoke earlier this morning talked about the administrative changes made by the commission that eliminated the personal expenses by regulation. I just want to point out he didn't misstate it, but I thought there might have been a misimpression left. The legislature never has adopted any legislation that authorized the expenditure of those or the loans for those personal expenses like cars or transportation or to pay the laundry or the other examples he used. This legislature never authorized that, and in fact, loans were being made for those purposes in direct violation of the legislation passed by this body. I just want to make that clear. We have saved money by pointing that out to the commission, but there's no way we ever authorized that at all. The final point I want to make, Mr. Speaker, although there is no direct conflict of interest, and therefore I'm not asking that I be allowed not to vote, I feel I have a responsibility to point out to the body that my wife does have a student loan that, of course, I'm responsible for. It is not directly affected by this amendment. I think it's appropriate to advise the body that I do have a financial interest in the student loan program. However, it's not such an interest on this legislation that I'll ask to be excused from voting.
Representative Herbert.
Mr. Speaker, I just can't imagine anybody going to college with a $5,000 loan every year and not being enterprising enough to make it through it, be they rich, poor, or indifferent. It's just beyond me.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, maybe he hasn't looked to see how much Costco school lately somewhere outside the state of Alaska. Mr. Speaker, with regard to the example that I just happen to have some recent information on, I know that, for instance, Northwestern University has, in the last month and a half, raised its costs again, so that the actual total estimated cost for a freshman at Northwestern coming from Alaska exceeds $10,000. $10,000, Mr. Speaker. And with regard to my colleague, who also went to that obscure university near Palo Alto, California, I understand the remarks he made, but I don't think that sweat equity can make up some of those differences. And there are all kinds of different kinds of people who are going to school. At the time I was going to the more prestigious, expensive schools as a graduate and professional student, my father was a retired railroad man. And as a matter of fact, anybody who goes to any one of about the top 24 law schools in the United States ends up finding out that there's a strict rule that you do not moonlight, you do not work, you are expected to be a full-time student. You might have good intentions, and I've known people to break those rules and get in severe trouble to the point of near expulsion from the college, from the law school as a result. These are realities, Mr. Speaker. It's this wide range of experience. It's the fact that the costs do vary very widely, the rules of the universities do vary very widely, that the Post-Secondary Education Commission should have the flexibility to loan up to $6,000 if it is appropriate. The problem is they haven't been looking to see if it is. It appears now that they are, so the amendment should pass.
Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, rise in opposition of the amendment. I think, and I would concur with the earlier comments of the colleague from Unalaska, and I would say that if he had any good fortune, it was a good fortune of parents who suggested that he assume a little bit of responsibility, which helped in his educational experience. I would just point out that even though we know the figures don't add out and all the loans won't be the same, if in fact the loans were at $5,000, there would be about 8,600 of them if they were, or about 10,400 of them if they were at $6,000, there would be about 8,600 of them. So there's a difference there in funding of about 2,000 students, and it seems to me that that we would be much wiser to stick with that lower figure.
Representative Miller. Representative Martin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The abuses of the past that have been alluded to, I feel, have definitely been taken care of,
And within depth meeting that the good chairman of HES has had, we went over and over numerous cases that the students themselves told us about, especially at the all-day meeting at the Anchorage campus. So these have been addressed. In most cases, the checks will go directly to the university now so that the students right there and then know that they draw on those checks accordingly. And in many cases in the Southern 48, the student will not even be allowed to participate until the check is there prior to starting of the semester. And also the regulations that the representative from downtown Anchorage mentioned pertaining to the federal law that somehow ever forced us into considering incidental expenses has also been taken care of. So with those two moves alone, there's going to be a lot less abuse, to say the least. Major point in my proposing of this amendment, sir, is to allow equality, to treat all students as evenly as possible. We are not treating those students equally that must go to campuses without student housing. And until we provide student housing, say at Kenai or Juneau or Anchorage, where the majority of the students do go to, then we must allow them a loan that they at least will pay half back that will allow them to rent apartments. Thank you.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, it's probably been pointed out already that the people who take over $5,000 in a loan for the most part are those students who attend colleges outside of Alaska. We might also remember that in the budget we did begin to phase out the WICHE program, which allows students to attend schools in other states at in-state tuition level. And it was pointed out that if we did that, it wouldn't be that tough of an impact because the student loan program would be able to handle the difference. And here I think we're striking two blows against those people who, for whatever reason, decide to have to attend school outside of Alaska.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1 to the Finance Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 709? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas, 19 nays.
Amendment number 1 has been adopted. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Representative Martin to pages 2 and 3, 925, delete section 7. Renumber following sections accordingly.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The purpose of this amendment, sir, is of efficiency more than anything else, and certainly it will save.